to the Monarch Experience Podcast. I am your host, Mr. Ancona, and here at the Monarch Experience Podcast, we are all about giving students the platform to be able to voice their opinions about what matters most to them. And today, we're talking about the Super Bowl. We're talking about Super Bowl 58, which has kind of become now a Monarch Experience Podcast tradition. We've got our baseball episode that we look forward to every year, and now we've got our Super Bowl preview episode that we look forward to every year. Hopefully, people not only are listening to this episode, but make sure you go back and re-experience last year's Super Bowl episode so you can tell us what fools we were for all the predictions that we made. And then after the Super Bowl is over, you can listen to this one again, take notes, and you can go at Gabriel, you can go at Rafi, and you can go at Adi, and of course myself, and tell us what fools we were and the predictions and how they were all wrong somehow. But before we get to any of that, make sure you follow us on our social media accounts. You know how to use the internet. Do it. Let's do it. We've got Gabriel for the first time on the podcast. Gabriel, what's going on?
I'm doing well.
Wonderful. What's your favorite team?
Cowboys.
Boo. Too bad. Who's your favorite Cowboy player of all time?
Michael Irvin.
Nice.
I somehow knew Gabriel was going to say that.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite Cowboy player currently?
CeeDee Lamb.
Rafi, how are you?
Hi.
Rafi's looking deep into my eyes right now, not saying anything.
His face is also bright red.
Suddenly, I am afraid. Why is your face bright red?
I don't know.
Could it be a sign that the Chiefs may win? Let's hope not.
Both teams are red.
Oh, shoot. Never mind. Rafi, what's your Rafi? Howdy doody, first of all.
What?
Howdy doody.
Howdy doody.
This thing goes off the rails real fast. You think that it gets crazy? Actually, you guys don't respond in your class. We'll get to you in a minute, Adi. All right, just stay over there. Rafi, howdy doody. So we broke him.
Can I answer for him?
Adi, answer for him. Howdy doody.
I think Rafi is doing very fine on this very, very fabulous day. And he's happy to be recording the podcast episode here with me.
On today, February the 1st, 2024, the year of our Lord. Thank you for interpreting. You're like his lawyer. So, Rafi, what's your favorite team?
Actually,
I am a Giants fan, very sadly.
Okay.
Unfortunately, yes. You haven't had a good QB in the past 10 years.
Like Eli Manning retired, 7 years ago?
Yeah, jeez, it's been a while.
Yeah, out of his prime.
Rafi, who's your favorite Giant of all time?
Eli Manning.
All right. Who's your favorite Giant currently?
Thibodeau. Kayvon Thibodeau.
All right. Okay.
Interesting.
It's a fun name to say.
Very fun name to say. I have a jersey.
Ignore the X. Thibodeau. Thibodox. great to have you back on, Rafi.
He's definitely way too tired of me.
Wait, notice how quiet it got after that. and then, of course, last, always least.
Okay, all right.
Adi,
all right.
You're going to be the punching bag for this episode. So just get. I don't know Gabriel well enough.
I was the punching bag last time.
Rafi has already done his time. It's great to have you on the podcast, finally. Favorite team?
The Bills.
Obviously, he's wearing a Bills hoodie, proudly. Who's your favorite Bills player all time?
Matt Milano.
All time?
All time.
Interesting choice.
Because I couldn't say O.J. Simpson.
No, you cannot say O.J. Simpson. especially, I think the only way, the only way you can say O.J. Simpson, I think, would be if you were alive to watch him play.
True.
Where you could be like, I saw greatness.
So not Jim Kelly?
No.
He lost too many Super Bowls. Four.
Yeah, I mean, he got to four. That's one of the most impressive feats in any team in any sport. To get to four in a row, to have the resolve and the focus, to have no Super Bowl hangover or no, drop-off. Look at the Eagles. Don't look too far. Look at the Eagles. They get to the Super Bowl last year. They're a buzzsaw of a team. They lose, and they're falling apart. They fell apart this season.
I mean, they started the season 10-1.
I know, but they fell apart. And that's kind of what's indicative of a lot of Super Bowl, not just winners, but more so, I think, and we can look historically at this, but the Super Bowl losers, too, are the ones that the next year really struggle to get their footing back. Who's your favorite current player?
I'm probably going to have to say Khalil Shakir.
All right.
That's an interesting one.
Very interesting choice.
That's an interesting one.
Not Josh Allen. All right.
There are so many picks.
You do?
I hate Josh Allen. Oh. I hate his game.
I love Josh Allen.
I do not like Josh Allen.
52-yard rushing touchdown.
My brother is a huge Josh Allen fan.
I feel like every single team that has tried to, like, develop a QB with a coach, Reich in with Carolina, Urban Meyer with Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback always has a terrible rookie season. So I feel like if you just hire the best coach, don't hire a coach to develop it. Hire a good QB coach. Don't hire a good head coach.
I agree with it and I disagree with it because I think the two examples you did bring up, those were bad fits. And those were bad coaches in the wrong spot. Like, but I do agree. I think it's very short-sighted to go, we're going to hire this coach because he's a QB guru. Well, that helps, but you should have an offensive coordinator and you should have a QB
versus the Texans, who had probably the best rookie QB ever. They drafted a rookie.
Ever?
That's insane.
Best rookie QB ever, yes. Are you gonna is anyone going to debate
insanity.
Me on that?
That's insanity.
Well, that's a that's.
Is anyone?
We're not prepared to argue this.
Oh God.
Yeah, I mean, I 45-14 against a potential coach of the year candidate is kind of like
true. So they after
greatest
drafting
rookie quarterback
after being the worst team in the league.
Gabriel's jumping on stuff right here.
After being the worst team in the league and drafting a QB, they hired a rookie coach who was a defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And then they were
the best guy who's the CEO.
Andrew Luck.
No, I don't know. CJ, I think what helped Andrew Luck was meant to come in and save the franchise, and there were higher expectations, I think, than CJ Stroud with the Texans.
Yes.
So I kind of think CJ Stroud's got the edge there.
Yeah, I think you could also make an argument that CJ Stroud made it this far in the playoffs without Tank Dell, who got injured in week 15 or 16.
Yeah.
I think
true.
He
had a wide receiver room led by Nico Collins.
Tank Dell. Tank Dell, and he also beat the Browns without Nico Collins.
Anyway, let's keep this baby rolling. So, does anyone care for me to tell you my favorites?
I think we've seen and heard enough.
Mr. Ancona, who is your favorite all-time Broncos player?
Oh, my God. That's an easy one. It's Rod Smith. Current player? Who's there to like? Javonte Williams.
Cortland Sutton.
I love Javonte Williams. Just an awesome running back. I like my bruising running backs. Speaking of Javonte Williams, golly, I love wings. And I would argue there is no better food for a Super Bowl. There's no more synonymous food when you think football than some wings. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
I'm wrong. What's a more synonymous football food? Celery and baby carrots?
Baby carrots and celery.
If we ask Sienna, she might say celery. Shout out to Sienna. What's the most synonymous food you can think of with football?
Probably, like, I think, like, I once went to a party that, like, had, like, TV outdoors, right? So that was really cool. And, you know, they have a grill.
Okay.
So, like, well, you better not say hot dogs. I wasn't going to say hot dogs.
Summer food. That is nonsense. You don't eat hot dogs or, like, wearing white. You wear white after Memorial Day and you stop at Labor Day.
What?
Yeah, that's like a very women's fashion thing.
I don't follow.
You, no, white, because if you wear
pants,
any darker
if,
colors,
if you eat hot dogs in
the
month of February, you're just like not a.
I
no,
agree.
I'm saying like I was gonna say burgers.
Burgers.
Like, just, yeah.
Ooh, all right. I agree.
Okay.
And
I don't really agree, but not just burgers.
I think, nobody really eats like a proper dinner.
I agree.
Super
that's
Bowl
why
night.
I was like burgers. That's a meal. I'd rather have a whole bunch of like pickings.
Yeah, like chips or like dip, chips and dip, something like that.
My son and I are going to do a Doritos taste test. He's super excited to like stay up and watch the Super Bowl. So we're going to get as many different Doritos flavors that we can possibly find and just like basically taste through all of them.
And you rank them?
What's that?
And you rank them?
Ooh, I like that too. And then, of course, we're going to rank them. We're guys. That's what we do.
I think there was one channel I saw like that where they do it but with like Gatorade flavors, like
ooh,
international snacks. It's like mythical something.
Gatorade flavors. That's a good one too. Rafi, favorite Super Bowl food?
Chips and dip, probably.
Chips
or like
and dip?
Crackers and dip, like anything
okay.
with a dip.
Crackers?
Crackers.
Yo, who eats crackers?
Crackers,
wow.
Eats on
crackers
the Super Bowl?
And dip.
Crackers, yeah. The Super Bowl, you can eat whatever you want. It's actually the biggest waste of food day like ever. Like, there's just like metric tons of like food that gets thrown into dumps.
Or like,
but I've never
also
heard.
Like
it's
wings,
also the most
wings.
Consumed food day, more than Thanksgiving. And you're going to eat crackers?
I would put wings up there.
Like, how are you going to pull out a cracker?
What dip? Or what are you a dip fan of? Buffalo dip?
Olive oil. Watch that. He's going to say that.
He's like a true Italian. He's going to dip some bread in the olive oil, get a little bit of salt.
Not even Italian.
Obviously, we can tell with your crackers, not some good semolina bread. Rafi, what kind of dip? Spinach dip? Buffalo dip? Seven-layer dip? I don't like that too much.
No, seven-layer dip
layers.
Is the goat.
I don't like that. Too many things.
Too many
in there.
Things.
So I've never had a seven-layer
dip. What kind of dip?
It's not even that much. It's like they say layers, and then you just sprinkle like beans in there, sprinkle cheese in there. It's not even actual layers.
Rafi?
I actually don't know what kind of dip I would.
He's eating plain crackers.
No.
Somebody send this guy some real food during the Super Bowl.
That's the first time I ever heard Rafi had a loss of words for food.
Yeah, he's just like, no, I just sit and I eat dry dry crackers and room temperature water. Oh, my God. Rafi.
We can do ice water.
My family allows me ice water because it's a treat, because it's the Super Bowl. But you get one cube of ice. Poor Rafi. All right, we're going to start a GoFundMe for you. All right, and it's going to be get Rafi either a dip for his crackers.
I think Rafi already has
I changed my answer to wings. I like wings.
Ah, yeah, sure. Gabriel, what about you?
I'm going back to what Adi said, hamburgers.
Yeah, wow, you guys are eating like a meal.
Yeah, but I feel
I don't like eating
a meal. Because I feel you have an iconic Super Bowl food, like chips and dip. And then you have like a pizza slice or a burger. And then I feel like you end it off with like something small.
Okay.
Like,
pizza's good. I would put pizza.
I feel like it's like a climactic roller coaster. It's like small and then like you know what I'm saying?
Just wrecking havoc on your digestive system. The next morning is rough.
I feel like pizza's too basic though. Like, cause you could like I know there's some families that like will have pizza like once a week. Like there's pizza's too basic.
I agree.
Once a week.
That's why I like the whole like get wings, get some chips, get some appetizer kind of thing. That's where I'm
those are like that's the three. That's like the three that everyone said. But yeah, I agree.
I have a smoker, so I may smoke a rack of ribs and do that because I think like ribs are a great like. I think it's got to be hand-picking stuff, and then wings. And this place mostly smoked on Route 9 is a barbecue place, and they've got the best dry wings. So I'm going to go quick round table since we're talking about wings. Sauce or dry? Sauce or dry, Adi?
Sauce.
Sauce?
Sauce.
Sauce or dry?
Dry.
I love dry. I'm going dry.
All right,
you get the right rub.
Oh, lemon pepper
Rafi,
rub.
What sauce do you like?
The lemon pepper, man. Yeah, because that like Buffalo Wild Wings.
Buffalo Wild Wings, lemon
their
pepper.
Their lemon
rub?
Pepper is awesome.
It's insane.
Yeah, and you don't need sauce. All right, let's keep talking about some Super Bowl stuff. Obviously, commercials are going to be a huge part of it. It's no secret that companies pay tons of money. How much money, you ask? This year, a 2024 30-second commercial ad is going to be going close to $7 million.
Wow.
Why, you ask? Because 115 million people watched last year's Super Bowl. So when you think about the influence that you can have with 30 seconds for your brand, whether it's long-term or short-term, it makes, if you can afford it, and these companies can, you absolutely should go ahead and do it. What are some brands we know we're going to see? And by no, I mean we can pretty much guarantee that they are going to have a commercial for the Super Bowl.
Coke, Pepsi. Coke. Pepsi.
Apple.
Yeah. Coke, Pepsi, Apple.
Betting apps, FanDuel Sportsbook.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Oh, FanDuel, Kick and Destiny.
And I imagine they're going to be probably some of the more creative ones, which is awesome. Car commercials.
All the sports books that sponsor the NFL so they can suspend their players for betting.
Oh, because they're literally advertising in the middle of the game for their product, and it's the only, I would argue it's maybe one of the only, aside from maybe like beer, because if you're at a bar, you can buy the product. Mm-hmm. But it's the only other product that you can like, you see the commercial for and can jump on and like purchase the product or engage in the product. Mm-hmm. You can't just go out and get Doritos if you're at home. Like you're not going to leave your house, but you can easily open up a betting app and go and do that. So yeah, great call. I'm going to say probably Budweiser is going to be another one. Doritos is going to be another one. Guaranteed to
Miller Lite. Miller Lite guaranteed.
Yeah, Miller Lite. All of these are going to be huge. Let's talk about the game. Let's talk about the game. There's some really big historical context in this, and I think that's kind of where we started. And I love these kind of storylines. I think they're really interesting when you think about like legacy of players, a legacy of coaches. Rafi, legacy of coaches. We got some big shoes to fill, and we got some big company to join in on. I like the wording of that.
Historical context. So If the Chiefs win, Andy Reid will join Bill Belichick, Chuck Knoll, Bill Walsh, and Joe Gibbs, and he will become the fifth coach of all time to win 3 Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, those are Hall of Famers, right? Yeah,
those Joe are Hall Gibbs. Of Famers. I think Andy Reid's already a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and he already is. But I mean, I think you're just cementing yourself as being in that top echelon. When we talk about shoes to fill, though, I think one of the more fun storylines is seeing Kyle Shanahan, son of former Broncos head coach and Super Bowl winning head coach Mike Shanahan. The Mike Shanahan coaching tree, when you start looking at who's come off of it, like Sean McVay, it's a huge.
If you look at, I'll look it up right now while we're talking. But
yeah,
the Commanders, when Mike Shanahan was the coach of the Commanders,
yeah,
you look, they show that on the TV every time the 49ers play, like the seven.
Which blows my mind because like they keep showing Mike Shanahan for his 1 year or 2 years with the Redskins, and they're like, they were the Redskins at the time, and they're like, look at the coaching tree he had. And it's like, that's Mike Shanahan's known as a Bronco head coach. Like, he won 2 Super Bowls back to back with the Broncos. Like, that's who he is. But that coaching staff he had in Washington was unbelievable. Rafi, you got some names on there?
Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator.
Yep.
Sean McVay was the tight ends coach. LaFleur was the quarterbacks coach. Mike McDaniel was the offensive assistant.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Those are some names.
Yeah, those are some names.
Those are the top coaches in the league.
LaFleur. Yeah.
Also, another thing to add about Andy Reid is that Andy Reid, with Belichick and Pete Carroll both, like, technically getting fired without getting fired, Andy Reid is now the oldest head coach in the NFL.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. And well, Seattle went from the oldest head coach to the youngest
head coach
ever.
To the youngest head coach, who's half the age.
Younger than me. So, wow. I'm feeling, what am I doing with my life, right? Just kidding.
Be an NFL head coach.
And then, of course, the connection, which is, you know, obviously going to get overplayed or played at some point if you're unfamiliar with it. You've got Christian McCaffrey, son of former Broncos wide receiver Ed McCaffrey, who won 3 Super Bowls with Mike Shanahan. One was when Mike Shanahan was offensive coordinator of the 49ers, and then Ed McCaffrey was a wide receiver. But be careful. Ed McCaffrey is known as a Bronco. Scrap heap, was not a player on the 49ers and the Giants. They brought him onto the Broncos, and he was like, let's see what happens, mainly as like a big physical receiver who can run block down the field. And he became a superstar in the Broncos in those back-to-back championship years. People are going to make a big deal that he won a Super Bowl with the 49ers. He had 11 catches that year, less than 200 yards, and 2 touchdowns the year that he, quote, won a Super Bowl with the 49ers. So if they're going to make that connection, it's a cute connection of like, oh, father-son coaching, you know, all that. But Ed McCaffrey is a Bronco, and he is a beloved Bronco.
The Broncos fan casually saying that.
Yeah, like getting a little bit hot about it. Where like Mike Shanahan, they're showing pictures of him where he was like a bad head coach of the Washington Redskins back in 2012 and way earlier than that. 2009 to 2013. How many years was he there
when
for?
When did Mike Shanahan?
He got fired from the Broncos in 2008.
Coach the
or after 2008.
Redskins.
He was 2010 to 2013. Yeah.
So he took a year off.
2010 to 2013.
Yeah, so we took a year off. Wow, he was there longer than I thought, and he ruined RG3's career.
It's true.
He made him get back on the field with a torn ACL and was like, get back out there. You don't need your legs. Yeah. All right.
Throw with your arms.
So super, super interesting. Has this ever happened before? Have we found anything where any kind of coach-father or father-son duo has been done before?
Not in the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Well, not as a player and a coach. Linebacker Steve DiBiase won the 1986 and 1990 Super Bowls with the Giants as a backup linebacker, and his son was the long snapper for the Giants, Zach DiBiase.
And there is no more important position than the long snapper, obviously.
Long snapper for the Giants for the 07 and 11 rings.
So, like, I guess, like, then this, like, matchup right here, like, Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan, Ed McCaffrey, Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
They, all four of them, have had great careers within football. So, like Steve DiBiase, like, he's a backup linebacker. So, I feel like, not that it wouldn't count, obviously, it happened.
Is this more impressive or less impressive?
Yeah, I feel like if...
Adi, what are your thoughts?
I think if like they were, it was just two of them and they were really good, I feel like it would be less impressive because like they're obviously more skilled and they probably, since this was farther back, they probably have a better roster, more support in this time. But there's four of them. There's double the amount. Like Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, Ed McCaffrey.
The connection's like really, really rooted in father-son.
Also, I think if the I also think if Ed and Christian McCaffrey do the same thing that Steve and Zach Diossi did, it would be more impressive because they actually played, and like Zach Diossi played, but he, you know, snapped the ball on a field goal.
Don't underestimate the long snapper.
There may be some long snappers listening here that are going to get very angry.
Yeah,
I think I understand what you're saying. They're playing more prominent positions: wide receiver, running back,
like, and they're very good at it.
And they're very good at it.
I just want to point out.
Go ahead, Gabriel.
The Shanahan family, not the Shanahan, the McCaffrey family. All three of their sons have played played football at a high level. One of their sons is a quarterback for Michigan. One of their sons is a wide receiver for Rice. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
And then Mike McCaffrey was a wide receiver for the Packers. So that McCaffrey family has deep, deep, deep football roots.
It's in the DNA.
And can do nothing to compete with the Mannings or the Watts.
And it's awesome to see a running back be that prominently displayed on a team that loves to run the ball. Like, they want to run the ball nonstop.
And then the Panthers threw him away to the 49ers, and now the 49ers team is even more stacked than they already were with Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk.
Kyle Shanahan literally said, we don't care. Like, I was watching the NFC Championship game, and then on the broadcast, the broadcasters were saying, Kyle Shanahan has been quoted as saying, I don't care if they're filling the box with defenders, with linebackers. The defense is not dictating our main offense, which is basically running the ball with McCaffrey.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, that's Shanahan way. Like, Mike Shanahan was the same way. It was, we run the ball with a dominant running back, and you can stack the box, but you can't stop him because he's still a weapon out of the backfield. That's what makes Christian McCaffrey so incredible. Plus, they've got Debo Samuel, right? They've got George Kittle. Like, they have so many legitimate weapons that they can use to exploit any team.
And Brandon Ayuk, who you can technically say was single-handedly the reason for maybe their win over the Lions.
Since 1999, every single Super Bowl winning team has paid 0.8% or less of their total salary paid to the running back.
Because the league...
They have not paid running backs highly at all.
Because running backs are easily expendable.
Yes.
You can get similar production cheaper value.
If the 49ers win the Super Bowl, that will completely demolish that statistic because Christian McCaffrey is such an impactful player.
And then you know what happens then. The offseason.
People start to value running backs more.
Teams start and then they devalue wide receivers. But which you're starting to see now is starting to kind of the trend. And it'll go back up and it'll go back down where receivers are not going to make as much money because you're going to see that you can get really good receivers in the second and third round. And if you look at some of these guys that are receivers for both teams, they're not high-profile picks.
Round two, pick four for Debo.
Round two. Okay.
You're talking about Rashee Rice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, Debo Samuel, if he was picked
in this... Jerry Rice.
Debo Samuel. He was the number 50. He was the 55th pick, so second
Debo
round.
Debo Samuel?
No, Rashee Rice.
Rashee Rice. I wanted Rashee Rice.
So second round, right? Yeah. Like, you don't need to go and get a guy. That's kind of been the running back way over the last, honestly, 25 years.
And that's a really good example because it's recent. That was this year. He's a rookie.
Yeah.
Like, he's a rookie, and he's...
You don't need to go and get a receiver like a CeeDee Lamb in the first round.
Yeah.
Yes, it worked out. But for every CeeDee Lamb, there's going to be Henry Ruggs.
Jalen Reagor.
And there's going to be guys that, like, you can get similar production way later on down the line in the draft that you don't need to pay this big money for. That's how running backs have always been valued. That's where, like, Zeke Elliott and Saquon getting drafted was such a hot topic of, you're really going to pick a running back at two? You're really going to pick a running back at four in the draft when their shelf life is, like, four or 5 years?
We should have picked Ramsey.
And, and like, it's crazy to see that it's kind of shifting now. Because if they win and they do it running the ball.
Isaiah Pacheco, the Chiefs running back, he went to Rutgers. And he wasn't supposed to even be, like, the starting running back or the star running back that he is now.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be third string or fourth string.
Where was he picked?
Round five. Not very high.
Round five, yeah. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome to kind of see how different teams shape their roster.
And then now Hilaire's second string. and he was picked 32nd, if I believe.
32nd, that 32nd. Is correct.
So that's the, you can just see the discrepancy there. First round pick is second string to the fifth round pick.
Patrick Mahomes is in his early 20s, or mid-20s, I'm sorry, and he has 14 playoff games won, which is third all-time behind Joe Montana, who has 16, and Tom Brady. Tom Brady didn't hit Mahomes is 28 years old. Brady didn't get to 14 playoff wins until he was 34 years old.
That's
and Mahomes has 14 right now at age 28.
Whoa.
That's pretty crazy when you think,
here's another thing with draft
how
picks.
Long this Chiefs run maybe goes for. God, I hope it ends.
I mean, Brady only won, two championships in his first, decade of playing.
Three championships.
He won
against the Seahawks.
I don't know how old he was, actually.
He won three in his first 4 years.
Yeah.
And then
it was 01, 03, 04.
And then he went undefeated and lost to the Giants because the Giants are amazing.
Well, they didn't win one from 04 until 2016,
17.
No, earlier.
No, no, 11, 14.
12, 13, 14. And then they went on that teens run again.
Right, because, why would you hand it off to Marshawn Lynch?
But, yeah, right, why would you? Yeah, when Russell Wilson could just throw a pick. Crazy. Really interesting stuff then with there. And then I think when you look at, back-to-back, because the Chiefs won last year, if they win, the last team to go back-to-back was the Patriots. I love that, that seamless conversation. We're talking about the Patriots here. Patriots went back-to-back in 03, 04. My Broncos went back-to-back 97, 98.
Brady's then second and third rings.
What's that?
Brady's second and
third
ring.
Yeah, second and third rings. I mean, so when you go back-to-back.
And it would be Mahomes' second and third ring.
Yes. Ooh, interesting. Ooh, weird parallel. The fun thing with the parallel, if you want to start. 23-24. 03-04. Illuminati
and
confirmed.
And now we're getting into the superstitions.
Yeah, now we're basically going to. All right, guys, put on your tinfoil hats. that's actually really. I like that. That's very cool. The whole Mahomes winning more playoff games by the time it's all said and done. Can he chase? I don't think you could even talk about chasing Brady until you get to five.
True.
He's got two. When you get to five, we can start talking about getting to seven. Because that's insane to be able to do that. Because it's never been done.
I think even if the Chiefs lose this year, we could still call them the dynasty. Because they made the AFC Championship.
I disagree with that so much.
Mahomes has never had...
If you're a dynasty, you're winning it.
Yeah, you're winning it.
Mahomes has never not made it to the AFC Championship. He's never not made
it. That's a crazy... all right, Adi, are the Bills a dynasty in the 90s, losing four in a row?
No.
Right?
No.
I think getting there and losing doesn't make it a dynasty. Because would you say the Seahawks were a dynasty?
No.
Because they won one and lost one.
That was 2 years. That wasn't a dynasty.
Those 3 years in between, those outside years, they the Bills, it's the divisional round losses.
Okay.
The Chiefs,
but they're getting there.
Yeah, not only have they made it to the AFC Championship game, they've constantly hosted the AFC Championship game as a higher seed.
Yeah.
This is actually the first time they had it away.
Yeah.
Yeah, winning road games. Mm-hmm, so, I mean, that's huge. I think this Chiefs team is built really differently.
Especially because
I think when they lost, I think when he lost to Tom Brady, it was also away.
I think if they win two in a row, back to back is you look at some of these teams that have done it. And it's the 97-98 Broncos, the 92-93 Cowboys, 88-89 Niners. The Cowboys teams are your Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikmans, right?
Triplets.
The triplets, yeah. The 49ers, it's your Montana team.
Look at
the Steelers in the 70s twice did it. That's your
Bradshaw right?
Lynn Swan,
Steel Curtain.
Franco Harris.
Steel Curtain.
Steel Curtain. Right? These are your iconic franchises. The 72 Dolphins, the undefeated Dolphins.
Was it Don Shula?
Shula. But that's what's nuts is when you go back to back, you are an iconic team. You don't do it by accident. You don't stumble into it. So if the Chiefs do it, you're absolutely, I think, looking at a dynasty because it's not just back to back. It's eerily similar to the Patriots where you are doing two out of three, right? You're doing back to back. Your second one is where the two in a row starts.
Second and third.
But I feel like the Chiefs are so different from all these teams. Like the Patriots, they had a bona fide like star packed team. The Cowboys obviously had Deion Sanders, Troy Aikman, yeah. Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith. You had stars across the board. 49ers, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice. I mean, all these teams had like bona fide star receivers.
Yeah, you look at the Steelers. They're like their household names. Yeah, so what are you saying about the Chiefs?
So I feel like the Chiefs have obviously star quarterback, star tight end, but I feel like their wide receiver room is by committee.
Yeah.
Pacheco is a good player, but I feel like he's not like to the level of Emmitt.
These aren't names. Yeah, that's
exactly.
A great point.
If Pacheco,
does that make it more impressive?
That makes it more impressive.
Yeah,
and especially on Andy Reid's part, like coaching these teams to back to backs when all these other coaches had Michael Irvin, they had Tom Brady, the greatest player of all time. Like I feel like it's more difficult to coach a team back to back with wide receiver by committee.
I think the stars, I think team.
Gabriel, I think that's so fascinating. I think that's a really interesting point. And Rafi, I want to get to you in a second, especially because you then could prove that you can do this long term, because then you can just keep drafting well and keep pulling guys into your system, because this Chiefs defense looks really, really good. I want to talk about some of these matchups in a second. I think it's a dynasty if they win another one. I hate it. I think if they lose, people will then start wondering, like, is it a dynasty? Can you be? And I agree with Gabriel. It cannot be a dynasty if you don't win this Super Bowl. You can come back next year and win, and I think then you could start saying you're a dynasty because you're like 1 year on, 1 year off. I mean, I'm not even going to say 1 year off. Is it an off year if you're making it to the Super Bowl and losing? That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, sure.
Rafi, go ahead. I would take that. I know you would take that. You would take that, right? To have an off year and losing the Super Bowl?
I mean, I think Audie's had too much of seeing Super Bowl losses.
He's never seen a Super Bowl loss in his life.
It
was in the 90s.
The Bills in general. The Bills in general.
Oh, I pulled up highlights from the 1990 Super Bowl.
Leave Audie alone, Rafi. Let's talk about the game a little bit more. Some in-depth matchups. We're talking about a lot of historical data and stuff like that, and I think that's really interesting. I think the biggest area of strength for the Chiefs, aside from Patrick Mahomes, I would even argue it's not Patrick Mahomes because he's turning the ball over at a greater rate this year, I think, than any year he's played. And he's not; they're not this prolific offense like they have been. I think it's their pass rush and their corners. And Chris Jones now isn't a one-man wrecking crew. They've got edge rushers. Their corners have been fantastic. Sneed, I believe, is like
Jerry Sneed
like
is
an 81 on Pro Football Focus. If you give that
McDuffie's
any
been
value,
amazing as well.
He's single-handed.
Like, they are
McDuffie's a first-team All-Pro slot corner.
They are just their defense. This is the best defense that they
without
had.
Him. You could argue they might not even have made it to the Super Bowl.
I agree
because he knocked the ball out of Zay Flowers' hands in the conference.
I think their defense is really what's going to be an interesting matchup against the 49ers offense, because the Niners are like a juggernaut on offense, second in points per game, first in total yards per game. And then you look at the Chiefs, second in points per game. So that to me is like one of the most interesting matchups, is you've got a team that scores a ton and then against a team that doesn't let you score a ton.
Could we argue that the Chiefs' defense is more important to the team than the offense?
I think so. I totally think so.
Yeah.
Because look at what his receivers have done to him all year. And they've still gotten this far. Receivers have been horrible this year.
Oh, yeah.
The drops have been unbelievable.
Kadarius Toney is single-handedly the reason we beat them in, like, week 14.
God. Yeah, Toney is. But I think that's what's so interesting is you're going to see the strength against the strength. You've got the Niners rushing game, 140.5 yards per game, third ranked in the league, going against the Chiefs rushing game, which is going to be the biggest area of weakness. Can they stop the Niners rushing it? And they're average. They're 17th. So that to me is like that's the matchup to look at, is going to be their running game, because you know they want to run it against the Chiefs' biggest weakness on both sides of the ball probably is their rushing defense.
Well, yeah, they're third in the league in rushing, and the Chiefs, they're like average, like 17th. Yeah. Even in, the Chiefs' passing defense is good. Even in their offense rushing, like Chiefs, like their offense is 18th. They're still average as well. And the 49ers rushing, like rushing defense is fifth. So I think 49ers will like definitely have this game in rushing. I think it comes up to the wide receivers, which we know for the Chiefs haven't been as
good. And let's say they double team Kelsey, they take away Kelsey. Who does Mahomes throw to?
Yeah, but you know, every team says that they're going to do that. It's like somehow Kelsey ends up having a game where it's like he's got 7 catches for 95 yards at halftime.
True.
Right? And 2 touchdowns, and you're like, You're guarding Kelsey's the weapon.
Exactly.
Like you just can't take him away.
I think not only is Mahomes a tremendous player, but there's tremendous chemistry between Mahomes and Kelsey. Like there's so many plays where like
not as much chemistry as there is between Kelsey and Taylor Swift.
Ooh. We'll get into that.
is that a transition into the next
one? No, let's not. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
There are plays, like, if you listen to, like, Mahomes coming on Travis Kelce's podcast, like, there's plays where they're, like, or, like, they talk about it in post-game interviews. Like, that was not his route, but they both saw the same thing pre-play.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just ran the wrong route, and Mahomes threw it to him, and he knew that Travis Kelce was going to go there.
I think it's or, like, even more surprising for Kelce as well, because Kelce, like, as a tight end, he only has, like, I guess you could say size. Like, he has good hands, but, like, every wide receiver should have that, right?
Unfortunately, the Chiefs don't have that.
Yeah.
But, like, Kelce, yeah. But, like, the only other player that I could potentially see that in is Tyreek Hill. There's been so many clips of online about him running the wrong route, but because of his speed size and agility, he just goes for the touchdown anyway.
You know what's crazy, too, is, like, they won a Super Bowl last year, the year that they got rid of Tyreek Hill, and, like,
That's another thing.
That is the ultimate, like, we won with him, but we also don't need him. Like, we can't afford
him. That's what I'm saying. But now that teams see that the Chiefs, without a bona fide.
I think you're totally right, man. Yeah. I think you're going to see teams start to copy this. How many drops can the Chiefs receivers overcome and still be able to win?
Max 10.
10 drops.
10 drops.
10 drops in a game.
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes is him.
No, drops. That's what I'm saying, bro. Let's say there's 2 drops per drive.
Boom.
That's 5 missed. That's 5 like drives basically gone in the garbage. Because let's say you have a drop on first down. Let's say you have a run on second down, second 5. Then you have another drop on third down. Your drive is done.
They could still combine for so many points. Like, during the entire...
Mahomes is just so good that he's going to go through all the drops. It doesn't matter.
The Chiefs can be that explosive on offense?
Yeah, because, like, if you look at, like, their last 2 games, like, I don't think they didn't drop much in the Ravens game, but in the Bills game, they didn't score all of the fourth quarter, and they still all amounted to 51 points.
Yeah.
Them together.
The Chiefs have 44 drops.
44 drops. Who's second?
Browns.
What?
Browns.
How many?
42.
Oh, that's not a big drop off at all.
The Chiefs.
And then the Cowboys are 37. Rams are 36.
You said 10. The Chiefs dropped 2.5 passes a game this season.
Okay, so the Chiefs are the worst in drops.
They can afford.
The Chiefs are worst in drops, but the drop off behind them isn't enormous.
Not, yeah. Well, half of the Cowboys drops is.
That doesn't make their accomplishment any less impressive in the world of suck, though.
True.
I kind of see this game going the route of the Tampa Bay Kansas City game from a few years ago. I can see Mahomes running for his life, getting pressured nonstop, and then because of that pressure, getting frustrated that guys are dropping the ball and like his throws are going to be, I mean, he can still make off-kilter throws all over the field, but I think that's going to start throwing off any kind of rhythm to this game. It's still going to be really close. Like, even that being said, I still think it's going to be an incredibly close game. But I'm going to make my pick. I'm going to say 49ers, 34-27.
Okay, there's your pick.
And it's going to feel like, at a time, the Niners are going to run away with it, and then people are going to start going, oh, crap. Are the Chiefs going to make a comeback like they did against the Niners? We didn't even talk about that part. But are they going to make that comeback against the Niners in the fourth quarter like they did their first Super Bowl win 4 years ago? I think the fact that, like, they have a quarterback, which, gosh darn it, how lucky are they? Finding a quarterback at the end of the Mr. Irrelevant. Like, good for you.
That's what I was just about to say. We were talking about late-round picks before. Like, the latest you could possibly
the
get
can possibly
is finishing top 3 in MVP this year. Like, that's... Yeah.
And the fact that the most, like, relevant Mr. Irrelevant... was Ryan Succop, the kicker for the Tennessee Titans for like 5 years.
Interesting.
Buccaneers.
Really?
He was the most relevant Mr. Relevant.
I love
and
that.
Then we come to Brock
I love
Purdy.
That phrase, the most relevant Mr. Irrelevant. That's awesome. Gabriel, what's your pick? We gotta get to what everyone is hoping for now. Nobody gives a darn about my picks. We gotta get to your picks.
I'm gonna go Chiefs. I think it's gonna be a low-scoring game.
Yeah?
I think it's going to be around 28 to 20, 4.
He calls that a low-scoring game.
That's not by any means a low-scoring
game. That's a low-scoring game for these two offenses.
For a game that has Patrick Mahomes and Christian McCaffrey, that is a low-scoring game.
Both of their averages are around the same exact amount.
Yeah, but then you have to
good point.
Points per game are 22 and 28 for the Chiefs and the Niners.
Points per game, it would be 29-22 if we pay attention to points per game. That would be the score of 49ers, 29-22. If points per game is all the
Not accounting for their defenses though. I would love a low scoring game. I think low scoring games are to me more exciting because everything matters.
Like the Ravens Chiefs AFC championship.
I mean, not like the Rams Patriots low scoring game.
That was the
most boring game.
That was terrible.
Right.
In that Super Bowl, I broke one of the unwritten rules that we forgot to talk about. Is going downstairs to play video games in the middle of the Super Bowl.
Oh,
you're so bored.
It was brutal. It was hard to watch. It was hard to watch.
I think I turned off the channel for a few minutes of the game.
I had to bring my baseball.
I think I went and did homework instead.
I literally.
Robbie, what's your pick?
That's a bit too far.
Sorry.
But I get it. You're an ELA teacher.
Yeah. I think I read a book instead. Is that better? Rafi, what's your pick? What's your score?
I pick the Chiefs.
Oh, sorry, Rafi, MVP?
Patrick Mahomes.
Your MVP.
Oh, my MVP.
You pick the 49ers.
Pick an MVP.
All right, I'm going to go contrarian. So I'm not going to pick your obvious one because there's no fun in that.
Chase Young.
Ooh.
If you're going edge rusher, go Bosa.
There hasn't been a defensive
Dre Greenlaw
MVP, right, since my boy, Von Miller. Your boy now.
Not Von Bell, Von Miller.
Von Miller, yeah.
I
heard Von Bell.
Von Bell? I've not heard that name.
I'm going to say MVP. I'm going to say George Kittle. In poetic justice, all the attention is on Kelsey, tight end. That is going to be another tight
That's
end.
That's a hit That's or miss be, play.
Oh, it's a bold
That's
pick.
That's a hit or miss play because Kittle is going to get you 50 yards a game. Yeah. But the fact is, if Kittle's going to be MVP, he has to get 130, 150
I think so
yards,
too. Yeah.
Two touchdowns, one.
He's got to have
Kelsey,
more.
For Kelsey, that's
have,
what happens on a daily basis.
I know, by halftime. Kittle's going to have a game that blows McCaffrey's game out of the water.
Yeah.
Which, if you're paying attention to what I'm saying, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. That makes no sense because I'm saying in order for them to win, they have to run the ball with Christian McCaffrey. But yet I'm saying that a receiving weapon is going to win MVP. So what I'm trying to say is don't listen to anything I'm saying. I don't know what I'm talking about. Who's your pick?
I'm going to pick the Chiefs. And I'm going to say the score is going to be 38-31.
Damn.
High-scoring game. A lot of points.
Shootout with the defenses?
I thought Rafi was going to say 114. The 79. All right, shootout.
Very
when does
much.
It become
with
a shootout? When you get
the
to the 30s?
Though?
I think a shootout is once you get over the...
I think
the,
a shootout is when it's like one-sided.
I think... No,
no
shootout is...
Shootout
is... Yeah,
it's like the term, but like...
I think shootout is once you
is
eclipse
the Bills
35
game.
Points. Oh, my God.
That's not a shootout.
That was... Don't bring that up. He's still healing. I think that was an amazing shootout. Who's your
he's
MVP?
He's still healing from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Who's your shootout? I mean, who's your...
He does not know what he's talking
bang,
about.
Bang, bang. Who is your who's your MVP?
So, boring pick, Patrick Mahomes.
Very boring pick, yeah.
Because that's the correct, like, that's who's going to win it.
Bro, the referees are practically wearing a Chiefs jersey at this point. I don't want to hear it.
Fun? No, I'm not even going to make a fun pick. Boring pick, Patrick Mahomes. Okay. He's going to win that Super Bowl MVP.
You could go Kelsey.
I was going to say something now.
Could you go Chris Jones?
I was going to say, there's a lot of things that the stats are like, both defenses are in the top five in almost at every category, and only the 49ers offense is in the top five in almost every category,
yeah.
While the Chiefs are in like the between like 7 and 20 in most of their in their offensive categories. But I think Patrick Mahomes goes past the stats, and he's going to make them win.
Super Bowl pick, score, MVP.
My pick is the 49ers are going to win, and I think the score is going to be 31-24.
All right. Who's your MVP?
My MVP is – I'm going to go with a fun pick and a boring pick.
Yeah, do
just
it.
Like Rafi.
Yeah, I like that.
Boring pick, Christian McCaffrey. Fun pick, Brandon Ayuk.
Ooh, I like
it.
So the thing with Ayuk and the thing with Kittle, like you picked, Mr. Ancona, they would have to do so good, like what Cooper Kupp did in that Rams Super Bowl, because every single yard and every single touchdown they get, the quarterback threw them the ball.
Yeah. And the quarterback also throws it to other people.
Yeah, I agree. So it's hard for wide. That's why it's historically very difficult for wide receivers to win any type of MVP.
No receivers ever won an MVP.
In the Super Bowl, they have.
In the Super Bowl,
yeah,
they have.
But in regular, yeah. Okay, so now let's talk about the thing that some of our listeners, the only reason that
the
they
thing
have,
that Lisa wants to hear.
The thing that Lisa, shout out to Lisa. The thing that so many people want to hear about, which is Usher. Favorite Usher song, round table real fast. Mine is DJ Got Us Falling in Love.
Oh, right? I didn't know yeah. Usher sang that.
Tonight, DJ Got Us Falling in Love again. Yeah.
Okay, well then I'm gonna pick that because I didn't even know that was by Usher.
Gabriel,
You Got It Bad.
Ooh, You Got It Bad. Adi?
I'm probably gonna go for You Got It Bad as well.
All right, You Got It Bad. That's gonna be the song in everyone's mind after all the food that they're eating the next morning on the toilet. And they'll be like, oh, I got it bad. Speaking of toilet bowl, let's talk about Taylor Swift.
Well, with the tea,
I just angered every single person that's listening.
Swiftie.
You cannot cut that out. I forbid you from cutting that out.
Okay, so Taylor Swift, I think the most interesting thing, it's all overplayed. I'm not saying Taylor Swift is overplayed, but there's nothing that we're going to say that's going to add any kind of interesting take on this whole Taylor Swift impact. I think some of the most interesting things are going to be, one, how irritated Patrick Mahomes' father looks in the box next to Britney and Taylor Swift. Watch his face, because when they show it, I guarantee you he's going to be looking incredibly annoyed at the two of them at something.
Yeah, and then just like right next to Jason Kelce shirtless with a beard.
Yeah.
I saw that.
The Chiefs box is insane.
I do think that what's really interesting is
the
that
next thing they have to do is they have to get Jackson Mahomes up there.
Oh, God. No, please.
No.
Shoot him into the moon.
Stop.
Kelce's Instagram following
up there.
Since New York Jets game that Taylor Swift was at has grown over 2.5 million followers. So I think the more interesting thing is, if the Chiefs win, does he propose on the little podium?
The field or the
podium.
That
will be incredible for the NFL.
Oh, right. You know the NFL is like, come on, propose.
The NFL is like, propose.
But only if they win.
The NFL will buy you the ring. Just propose.
For real.
I think he can afford it.
I think he'll do it with the Super Bowl ring.
The Super
Bowl.
That's what I'm saying. After the game with the Super Bowl ring.
So that wouldn't be until the opening ceremony. They don't get their rings until opening game.
That's true.
So that's the interesting
part. I don't think he does propose. I think it's way too soon.
I don't think he does either. I think there would
maybe he hints at it.
I think there'd be a lot of cynicism. I think it'd be like, what's next?
Or he does it at the opening ceremony with the Super Bowl.
They
get married
Super Bowl
at the
ring.
Opening ceremony.
Wow. All
that would be insane.
I think it's very interesting.
I just want to bring it back.
You always saw the
like
commentators
shout out,
making
I would
jokes.
Like to shout out my dad again because he told me to put that question on the doc. Will Travis Kelce propose
to Taylor
Swift?
Shout out to your dad, the hopeless romantic, thinking about love during a brutal battle
bone crushing
for
game.
Ultimate football supremacy. Thanks for coming along with us. Hope we covered everything. Until next time, stay safe, stay hungry. See ya.
Go Chiefs.